This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the Blueberry Combo by Design Studio in Columbus, Ohio. The lead stories are Twitter has banned all state-controlled news outlets from advertising. Ransomware takes out 23 Texas agencies. YouTube sues a copyright troll. And an Apple bug leads to a jailbreak. I want to welcome you to episode 1389 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, August 19th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. Hey everyone, glad to be back. Glad to be back in the studio recording a show. I've got a lot of news for you, a lot of information to get caught up. But first of all of you, the brand new listeners of the show, thank you for being here. Make sure you check out GeekNewsCentral.com. Check out the website. Get subscribed to the show while you're over there. And of course, you can sign up for our newsletter as well. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about today with all the links. So you can just get subscribed to that. That way you'll stay abreast of everything going on with the show. Of course, you can listen to the show on blueberry.com or on your smart home device by using the keyword to launch that device and say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. You can join our chat room at geeknews.chat, our Mastodon chat server, or on Slack by sending me an email. That contact email is geeknews@gmail.com, and it's really great for any conversation, any feedback on the show. Of course, you can always follow me on Twitter as well, at Geek News, or on Facebook just by searching for my name, Todd Cochran. Of course, we're just not alone here at Geek News Central. We've got partner shows. All these are linked at geeknewscentral.com, whether it be GNC Week in Review, done by Kirk Corliss, The Gadget Professor, but done by Mr. Don Bain, The Pro Gear Site, written by my team, The New Media Show at newmediashow.com, co-hosted myself and Mr. Rob Greenlee. There's been some power-packed episodes over there. And Podcast Legends at podcastlegends.com. You can always pick up Ohana gear, stuff for this show, at cafepress.com/Ohana store. This show is sponsored by the longest-running continuous sponsor of a podcast. That's our good friends at GoDaddy.com. You can pick up domain names for just $4.99 or get a 30% off discount code for almost any product or service at GoDaddy, or get a web hosting account for just $1 a month for the first year, includes a free domain on managed or just regular hosting accounts. Those are the best deals you're going to find at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's where all my promo codes are at. Get over there, grab one, share with a friend, tell a coworker. It is a season. It's a season here. Summer is going to be coming to an end soon. So it's time to get creative and have something to do as things start to move on from summer to fall. And I don't know if summer's going to be over that quick, but hey, it sounded good. And for many of you, you're like, Todd, be quiet. But anyway, check out all my deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Whether it be a website builder account for you looking to build a business, there's really all offers there for you to save money. Share these codes with your friends, family members, people that you know. Link to the website from your Facebook, Twitter account, etc. We thank you for your ongoing support. We thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here. Grab those codes, cut and paste them, use them at checkout, or click on the link to lock in savings. Make sure the code transfers through all the way to the checkout counter. Everyone, how's everyone doing? Glad to be back. I'd be honest with you, I feel like a ping pong ball. It's been a busy week or so, 10 days, I guess. As on the last show, a week this past Thursday, we had, you knew I was leaving for Florida to fly down to Orlando. Then I drove over to Tampa. I met up with my mom, who had already been picked up at the airport by my daughter. We spent a couple of quality days with Natalie and Alora, my grandchild. And then on Monday, I dropped my mom at the airport in Tampa, and then I drove over to Orlando for Podcast Movement 2019, where it was basically 18-hour days. My voice is even still kind of rough because the parties they had at night were loud, so you're talking loud. It was a very, very, very full week. And I'll be honest with you, still recovering to a certain extent, but had a good event down there. Flew back to Detroit Saturday, got in about 2, got back to the house about 4, really had no energy. I left to go to the office, except I had to haul a bunch of stuff into the office, and then I came back. And then Sunday morning, I went into where the studio/office is and spent a full day. The carpet, as you all remember, had been already laid. The glue had dried, so I went through and did some cleanup. The electrician postponed until, believe it or not, tomorrow. So the electrical work hasn't been done yet. So that's being done probably as you're listening to this, if you're listening on Tuesday. And then I got the edit studio partially set up, got the 2 computers up and running, everything, the audio recorder and the Mac Pro, the trash can, got that all up and running, got it hooked up to the network, and really kind of put a lot of furniture together. So all the furniture, except for the new studio desk, is done. And so when I get back Thursday, I'll record a show there on Thursday, and once that is completed, I will let's see here, what's going to happen? Friday, basically just be prepping everything, but Sunday, the install team comes, and we're going to have the studio built out. So everything is going to be, it's been planned from a design standpoint, happens this coming Sunday. And then sometime in between when I get home and before they come, I'm going to try to get the lights hung. And then really what's left, and I've actually already got the audio rack put together. I got that stack set up. So it's just a matter now of getting the cameras installed, really kind of trying to get everything dialed in. I don't know if there is going to be a live show on Monday. I don't know if I'm going to have time to get everything done to do a live show Monday or not. It's going to be close. It really, really will be. I'm kind of at this point on the doubtful side just because of the amount of work that's left. But who knows? We'll see if we're going to be live on Sunday. But midweek, I have to leave for Dragon Con down in Atlanta. So I'll be down there through the following Monday. And then kind of it's going to be kind of crazy. The schedule is going to be nuts for a while, for a couple of weeks. So I'm just going to, we're going to play it by ear. But one thing is for sure, I probably won't tease you too much longer. We get the studio set up. I'll probably take full-on pictures of the design. We're going to be doing video of the install. I'm going to be documenting all this. I got to see the product samples when I was down in Orlando. So I'm really on edge, I guess you would say, to see how this thing's all going to turn out, the vision that we've got, and if it matches the vision, and how the camera angles will truly be once the cameras are installed. So lots to do, and but anyway, we're close. We're really, really close. So my sister and I were talking about, she says, you've been working on this thing for a while. She says, what are you going to do when it's done? And I'm like, I got a lot to do. I'm going to start employing it. Lots of videos to be recorded. I've got a stack of backlog work that needs to be done. So it is an exciting time. We're going to kind of finally turn the corner here. But one thing's for sure, the schedule of mine does not, I don't even get a breath of fresh air really probably until the middle of October sometime. So yeah, it's more crazy than it's ever been. It really, really is. So just fleeting, and just, and full on, full throttle work as well. Now, once the studio's kind of dialed in, I'll get into a battle rhythm a little more in Michigan, which would be good, and getting content together and punched out while I'm there. So anyway, that's what's going on. and got you all caught up. But we got lots of tech news to talk about today, and I do want to thank you all for being here. And I'm here in the Combo by Design studio in Columbus. Drove down this morning. Pretty uneventful drive, of course, thank goodness. And got in here about 8:30, I guess, and been busy all day. Went and grabbed some dinner, come to get back. Kirk had the show prep ready for me. And anyway, here we go. Got the whole stack. Twitter has decided to ban advertising from state-controlled news agencies. This change comes after the Jinhao sponsored ads attacking the Hong Kong protest. Of course, in Hong Kong, people are protesting there, and right they should, because it appears, at least on the surface, that China's trying to, take a little harder line with Hong Kong, and the people are probably freaked out completely, and it's understandable why they are protesting, and maybe a little bit, I think they have every right to be worried. China's been pretty much hands-off, is according to what we've seen up to this point, but it may not be the case. But Twitter says 936 accounts from the People's Republic of China were deliberately and specifically attempting to sow political discord in Hong Kong. And Twitter says that it suspended all the accounts for a range of violations, and they were also trying to advertise. And Twitter says it plans to notify news agencies if they are no longer permitted to advertise. Those organizations will have 30 days to offboard from Twitter's advertising products. But it's what it really boils down to is the red communist China controls the media, controls the message, and they're going to do everything they can to really make these protesters look as bad as possible and make the government look better. So time will tell what happens here, but I think this is a good move by Twitter. In new ransomware news, a ransomware strike has taken down 23 Texas local government agencies. These ransomware folks hit Texas pretty hard here. Early on August 16th, again, a total of 23 local government organizations in Texas were hit by a coordinated ransomware attack. The type of ransomware has not been revealed, and Texas officials asserted that no state networks were compromised in the attack. Local municipalities, maybe? A spokesman for the Texas Department of Information Resources told Ars Technica that authorities are not ready to reveal the names of the entities affected, nor the details of the attack. State and federal agencies are in the midst of the response, and they did not have information on whether any of the affected government organizations had chosen to pay the ransom. Ransomware teams from the Texas Division of Emergency Management, Texas Military Department, and Department of Public Safety, and Texas A&M, basically they're currently involved in an effort to bring some systems back online as federal officials. Boy, to this ransomware stuff is really, really tough. And if they don't pay, and sometimes even they pay, things don't come back. And this latest attack is one of the largest coordinated ransomware attacks seen to date, but it should give communities wake-up calls. And there's no clear indication how this all started. Even though lots of individual groups have been hit independently, it just goes to show you that we live on digital data. You better have a good backup and backup upon backup. You better have stuff on ice so that if your systems get taken down, you can recover. Even though you might lose some man days or man months, at least you're able to get your data back. In a very interesting article, YouTube has sued an alleged copyright troll over extortion of multiple YouTubers. Well, this individual apparently wasn't having very happy with what was going on with his YouTube channel. So a gentleman by the name of Chris Brady seemed to target the Minecraft community, according to the lawsuit. And this is big. He's going after alleged copyright troll for using the DMCA to have videos taken down, and he was using false copyright strikes to extort YouTube creators. And according to YouTube, harmed YouTube in the process. Now, you don't want YouTube going after you. The lawsuits, first spotted by Adweek, alleges that Brady sent multiple complaints claiming that a couple of Minecraft gaming YouTubers Kenzo and Abby Raids infringed on his copyrighted material in January. YouTube removed the videos that Brady claimed were infringing on his copyrighted material, as the company does whenever a DMCA claim is submitted. Well, this individual then was sent a message from this individual, Brady, that stated that the YouTuber didn't pay him $150 via PayPal or $75 in Bitcoin, he would issue a third copyright strike. This would essentially terminate those individuals' channels. Other folks were extorted for as much as $300. The YouTubers made multiple attempts to get in touch with someone at YouTube, but did not make any progress. And then finally, it wasn't until these two individuals spoke about the alleged extortion on their individual YouTube channels that YouTube team learned about the issue. Still, the company alleges that the extortionist, Brady, continued to go after members of the YouTube gaming community. He allegedly sent four copyright takedown notices to YouTubers between June 29th and July 3rd. But basically, they said this guy created like as many as 30 or 15 different online identities in which YouTube traced back to him. And they're going after him big time. They're going to throw the hammer here. They want their money back for lost time. And they're afraid other people are going to do this, mimic what this individual has done in trying to extort people, extort money from people just because they're unhappy. So I would not want to be on the receiving end of a YouTube lawsuit. That's going to be painful. Moving on here. Oh my goodness. Apple has reintroduced a vulnerability that it previously fixed, which is allowing iOS 12.4 to be jailbroke. Apple's not saying too much, but a security researcher known as Pawn20Win on Monday published a jailbreak for iOS 12.4 to GitHub, according to Motherboard. CNET wasn't able to independently verify the hack, but Google Project Zero researchers Ned Williamson reportedly confirmed to Motherboard that the jailbreak worked on his iPhone XR. He suggested the vulnerability could be used to create spyware that steals users' data. So even good old Apple is still to this time, susceptible to, just bad code and unfixing things. Are you a Reddit user? I get on Reddit once in a while, but mostly in response to stuff maybe in the podcast community. But Reddit is experimenting with live streaming. Users can post live streams from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. through Friday. You're limited to 30 minutes per stream. Only 100 people of the entire Reddit community can be streaming at once. And they're only going to enable the outward-facing camera so that people can't do quote-unquote selfie streams. So we'll see what this does. But this is just a test. And the platform, of course, will set strict rules. No more than 100 concurrent streams, each with them to 30 minutes. No NSFW, dangerous or illegal activity. And no quarantine-eligible content will be allowed. And again, the live streams will use a rear-facing camera to discourage selfie streams. Of course, users will be able to vote streams up or down. But I'm sure Reddit and their staff are going to be watching this heavily and probably will adapt the rules that they will move forward with the service from this test. Remember Hubble? We haven't talked about Hubble in a while. Well, Hubble's still up there collecting data. So Hubble's telescope has solved a galactic identity crisis for quasars. The 20-year-old debate has finally been settled. Now, this is really deep. We know that quasars are galactic nuclei located at the center of host galaxies. Their bright light is powered by supermassive black holes, and they achieve a brightness that's equivalent to 600 trillion suns. If you think about that, it's like, wow. For decades, scientists debated whether a class of galaxy that is known to have quasar-like nucleus is one of two types. By using the Hubble Space Telescope to observe what they're calling a Seyfert galaxy that met they basically met the qualifications for both types. A team of researchers found that such a galaxy is in fact one class of object because they weren't able to detect some wavelengths until they looked really, really, really deep. Now, I'm not going to go into this whole information. It's okay. The scientists are excited. If you're an astronomist, maybe this is going to make you excited too, but it just shows you the Hubble is still out there doing its thing, which is good. Over at CNET, they're talking TCL could be a new player in foldable 5G phones, and this has been released or reviewed, or it's actually to a leaky roadmap. So 5G foldable phones have had a rocky start already. But in a set of tweets Monday, noted leaker Evan Blass shared image of TCL's upcoming T1 phone, as well as a leaked roadmap depicting the Chinese company's phone plans through much of 2020. According to the leaks, TCL is set to announce the new T1 next month at the IFA show in Berlin. The device appears a pretty standard mid-range phone for 2019 specs, including a 6.53-inch Full HD Plus display with a cut-up for front-facing 24-megapixel camera, Qualcomm Snapdragon processor. It has three rear cameras, but the big thing is this thing folds in half. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes. I don't know anyone that has a TCL phone. Anyone that's listening to this audience have a TCL phone? Geeknews@gmail.com. Tell me if you like it or not. Android Central's got a good list of Bluetooth headsets, what they're saying are the best in 2019. And I pretend that my Apple earbuds are pretty awesome. But the Plantax Voyager Legend has gotten some high reviews in this review. Best budget picked is the new Beats Bluetooth earpiece. What does this thing cost? How much? $14 or something? Let me look. Only has 24 hours of talk time. Yeah, it doesn't say how much it is. It says it's the cheapest, so that probably makes it around $14. But anyway, a whole host of headsets, earbuds, regular stuff that you would expect, traditional type of Bluetooth devices, a variety of price ranges. The link will be up in the show notes for you to review. Also, did you know that the Roku has the ability to use a web browser? I didn't know you could browse the internet on a Roku. This is news to me, to be quite frank. I didn't know this. And what did I do? Oh, there we go. So if you want to learn about the best Roku web browsers and work around the offers of better web browsing experience, I'll have the link in the show notes. This is from makeuseof.com. But the best one they're saying is, and it's available in the channel stores, called Web Browser X. And then PopRism Web Browser is another one. There's two or three different ones that they're reviewing here. They've used some with some screen sharing or screen mirroring. It doesn't look like the best experience, but in a jam, this might come in handy. One thing that happened last night was we had a pretty big weather front roll through Michigan, thunderstorm, lightning. It was the second one in 24 hours. And, you know, I had always thought when I was in Hawaii, it'd be cool to have one of those weather stations. And I got to thinking about it last night that maybe it would be time to put one up. And it's just, you know, just kind of cool. And I'd like to have something that would feed Wonderground. But, you know, I'm not really ready to spend the money yet. But today, Kirk had actually found an article on the 6 best weather stations for accurate forecasts. And they range in price from $158 to a couple hundred dollars. And these are everything from humidity detectors to true weather station, rain collection, air, you know, wind speed, you name it. So, any of you have a weather station you feed information to Wonderground with? Really love to hear from you if you do. What? And I guess I should go over there and see what gear they're recommending. But you know, in Hawaii it was sunny or rain, that was the weather. But now that I'm in Michigan, it's kind of interesting to get weather alerts and because it's a variety of weather there, and you never know when a twister is going to be on the ground either. So it's a whole different ball game. But anyway, a list of the 6 best weather stations for accurate forecast by the from the folks at MakeUseOf.com. Instagram is going to be paying researchers to uncover abuse of users' personal data. It's part of Facebook's expanding bug bounty program. So Instagram is going to pay a bounty to security researchers who find evidence that third-party apps are misusing your personal data. The program aims to encourage experts outside of the Instagram and its parent company's Facebook to tackle a major problem the social network faces in these apps that do naughty things that scrape users' data. It's called the Data Abuse Bounty. Doesn't say how much they're going to pay, though. Our goal is to protect information, but it doesn't say how much money that they're actually offering in this particular bounty, bug bounty award. So if you're a good security person, a person could almost make a full-time living just finding this kind of stuff. So anyway, the link will be up in the show notes. You know, NASA has a lot of eyes in the sky, and they've produced a stunner satellite map that, as they say in their headline, looks super psychedelic. And what it is a NASA satellite view showing clouds off the coast of Morocco, and they captured the swirling cloud pattern, which is known as the von Karman vortices. It's named after the physicist that first described the process that creates them. And of course, the small island that's in the picture disturbs the wind flow, generating these scenic patterns. And it's pretty cool. It doesn't look like anything you normally would see from a space shot of weather, which is just usually standard puffy cumulus clouds or hurricanes. It is kind of wild what they see. It almost looks like a whole bunch of mini tiny hurricanes, but it's not. Link will be up in the show notes. It's a pretty trippy picture. It might be worth something to put on your desktop for a few days at the office so people can say, what is that? Microsoft new SMS organizer app for Android filters out spam messages. It's available in the US, UK, and Australia. And this SMS organizer, again, is designed to automatically sort messages. Software giant originally released the app in India of last year, and it's now making its way to the US, UK, and Canada, US, UK, and Australia. It uses machine learning to automatically sort messages and organize them into separate folders. You guys get SMS spam? I, knock on wood, don't get a lot of promotional SMS spam. It's mostly stuff that I've signed up for, that I volunteered to get. I guess it's a bigger problem in some places than others. But if you have a spam issue in your Android app, I do get one message almost every day from someone said, we've deposited $2,000. If it's actually truly depositing $2,000, whoever's getting that money is rich. But I think that's the only one I see on the Android devices that we have. All right, moving on here. What's next in my stack? Apple is going to release new colors of its so-called excellent Power Beats Pro wireless earbuds on August 30th. So far, those earbuds have only been available in black. But the other colors announced are ivory, off-white, moss green, and navy. And they're going to set you back $249. Anybody use these Beats? These Power Beats Pro wireless earbuds? Anyone actually use these? Are they that good? $249. Holy smoke. Step back. Newt Gingrich. How many of you know who that is? Some of you do. Some of you may not, depending on your age. But Newt Gingrich used to be the Speaker of the House many years ago. And he is proposing a $2 billion prize for a human moon lander. During a 2020 campaign speech, of course, President Donald Trump is touching on the theme of commercial space. And the president often says he likes Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and other billionaires who are investing in aerospace and using reusable rockets and paying NASA to rent to use agency facilities. But some advisors are quietly urging the president to take his enthusiasm for commercial space and entrepreneurs a step farther by creating a prize for whoever lands humans on the moon. The effort, led by former Republican Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich, was first reported by Politico, would award a $2 billion prize, the first company that lands humans on the moon, and the winner would probably be Musk or Bezos. Of course, NASA, of course, has its own moon plan named the Artemis Program. They're spending about $6 to $8 billion a year on top of the agency's existing budget. Of course, we could, I guess, go by Greenland. That's an interesting move, interesting discussion. We haven't had any expansion of territory lately. I don't know that much about Greenland. What natural resources are there that would make it worth buying Greenland? Anyone help me out here? I'm not a big geography guy when it comes to what's a, I know certain countries have Iceland. It's pretty obviously what's going on there with they have so much volcano activity that they basically have super hot steam that they use for geothermal, and other countries have some natural resources. But what about Greenland? Help me out. eBay and Shopify have pulled listing of Jeffrey Epstein's inspired merchandise. So everyone has been piling on trying to sell stuff. Pretty naughty stuff, to be quite honest with you. And the eBay has taken down multiple listings related to him. The question is, you know, that all went down here over the past week. And it's not really tech news, but what did he know? Did someone off him? Yes, he supposedly died by hanging himself, but there's lots of questions there. So, dun, dun, dun. You just never know when you're associated with certain people if you're going to end up dead. As No Agenda Show likes to say, pew, pew, two bullets to the back of the head. But this time it was a choker's knot, apparently. All right, moving on here. And I heard one of our Ohana members actually went and did some pricing on this. Tesla is launching a rental plan to help its slumping home solar panel business. And it starts at $50 per month up to $150 a month with a $1,500 removal fee. So this is available in six states: Arizona, California, Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and New Mexico. It will cost as low as $50 per month with no upfront installation costs or long-term contract. The monthly payment also includes support, maintenance, and any other necessary hardware, though renters must pass any tax incentives and rebates to Tesla. Now, the question is this rent to own or just rent to rent? Because if you think about this, and I haven't done the math on it, and I'm going to have to run the numbers here, Tesla will charge $50 a month for a small 3.8 kilowatt solar panel system that generates an average of 10 to 14 kilowatts of energy per day. So if you think about a median of 12 times 30, what do we end up with? 360 kilowatts. And if you multiply that out by how much your electricity bill is, 360 kilowatts at what, 11, 12, 13 cents? It's about even money, maybe a little under. It's charging $100 per month for a medium system of 7.6 kilowatts that generates between 19 and 28 kilowatts per month. So that's an interesting number, or $150 per month for a large 11.4 kilowatt that puts out 29 to 41 kilowatts a day. Now, my system that I have on my home puts out as much as about the top I think I've seen is 45 or 46 kilowatts and a day. So that's, of course, I'm in a zone 6, best possible sun profile you can get. So they say the average household uses about 28 kilowatts a day. So if you fall into that range, you potentially zero out your electricity bill and you have $150 per month So there's got to be a trade-off there. If this is rent-to-own, now, a large system does cost about $30,000 to buy outright. That's what mine cost. So this is interesting what they're doing here, what they're doing. It's rent in Hawaii, they have rent-to-own. Or they make it so price effective that people are willing to pay a rental fee in order to reduce the electricity bill by a considerable amount. So I think you really have to do the math really, really close on this to see if it pays off. It's a, you know, it's really truly a numbers game. If you pay $50 and get $100 worth of savings, well, that's worth it. But then again, you're all dependent, completely dependent on Mother Nature and the sun. And if you have a month of rainy weather, you may not create as much power, and you're going to negate the savings, and thus really, it's kind of a trade-off over an, you know, if you can have an actual true annual savings. 85 Google Play apps were producing, which produced 8 million downloads, was forcing full screen ads on its users. This was very, very nasty little piece of software, little games people were loading. The apps was posed as photography and gaming games, contained a family of adware that was highly disruptive to end users. Once installed, the apps displayed ads in the full screen, extending it forced users to view the entire duration of an ad before being able to close the window or to get back to the app. The app showed an ad every 5 minutes, but the people operating the platform had the ability to remotely change the frequency. Naughty, 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 naughty. It really is naughty what they're doing here. And people are getting a lot of money. A lot of ads are being served that people don't want. CenturyLink last year had an outage. I don't remember if we even talked about this. But apparently it was one that replicated itself out of control and resulted in a 37-hour nationwide outage for CenturyLink, which affected a lot of people. They didn't get a fine, but the FCC is not very happy. It described how CenturyLink failed to follow best practices that could prevented the outage. And, oh, they haven't announced a punishment yet, if any. The outage was so extensive that affected numerous other network operators that connect with them, including Comcast, Right, and Verizon. So it was just one malformed packet that made it out into the system. So it just basically self-replicated and was all over the place. So if you were part of that CenturyLink outage in December 2018, you can definitely check this out. It's available in the show notes. Moon delivery startup Astrobotic has picked a future Vulcan rocket to launch its first lunar mission. The potential historic flight is scheduled for 2021. U.S. aerospace startup Astrobotic, a company that wants to establish a delivery service to the moon, set up its first lunar mission on top of a United Launch Alliance future rocket named Vulcan. In fact, Astro robotic spacecraft, a lunar lander named Peregrine, will be Vulcan's very first payload ever. I bet you they got a super discount on that because it's a high chance that thing's going to blow up on the way to orbit. If everything stays on track or in the rack, the mission could send the first private vehicle to the surface of the moon. And Astrobotic is one of many companies with sites on the lunar surface, so they're going to deliver pizzas, all right? More like water and food for a future lunar colony. But they picked the old A instead of American company. Very, very interesting. All right. Well, maybe ULA is an American company. I can't remember. Presidential candidate Bernie Sanders calls for a ban on police use of facial recognition. The proposal is part of Senator Sanders' broader plan for police reform. And he's called for a complete ban on the police use of facial recognition as part of his campaign. If elected, he would pledge to ban the use of facial recognition software for policing. His plan also calls for any programs that provide military equipment to local police and establishing federal standards for the use of body cameras. And he's the first presidential candidate to call for an outright ban on the use of police use of facial recognition. Although a number of other Democratic candidates have expressed concerns about the tech, I think you have to be more worried about private industry using facial recognition than police departments, in my personal opinion. I think for police officers, it's a good thing. But for private industry, that's a whole different ballgame. Google has stopped sending Android cell signal data over privacy concerns. Now, what they were doing is collecting cell strength and speed information collected from your phones, and they were sending that to a large variety of subscribers. But they've decided to shut down the mobile network insights, a feature that gave providers a map of cellular signal strength and speed data. The data was anonymized and required opting in to sharing location usage and diagnostic info, but Google was reportedly worried about the practice might raise hackles among users and government regulators. So they have shut it down. And largely because they worried about privacy. So the American public is getting smarter on this stuff, and companies are becoming more aware. So if you're in New York City and you walk into a 7-Eleven and you grab a bag of chips and the line is super long, in select 7-Eleven stores, you're going to be able to do cashier-free mobile checkouts. You use your app, you scan the barcode, it charges your credit card, and then you go to a kiosk to confirm that you paid for something, and out the door you go. Certain purchases will still require human help, including financial services like money orders, as well as anything that requires an age check, booze, cigarettes, and lottery tickets. Mobile checkout is not universal available in New York City, at least not yet. It's available in participating stores in Manhattan, and they're giving this a run. So maybe someday we're going to see this in other 7-Elevens across the country. And I'll be honest with you. You go in any convenience store, and there's 10 people in line and one cashier, that would be an app that would be very much appreciated. Rocket Lab, listen to this. This is a mouthful. Rocket Lab Electron Booster launches 4 satellites into orbit. The private space flight company Rocket Lab has launched 4 new satellites. A couple of U.S. Air Force Space Command and a couple from companies in Seattle and France. Now, this was launched from the Mahia Peninsula launch site in New Zealand. And everything went smooth with the launch itself, and the rocket deployed the 4 satellites. I guess this is their 4th launch. And anyway, good job on them. And so very, very cool. Now, the company's goal is to snatch returning rockets out of the sky using a helicopter versus building the tech to land them. So we'll see what happens. Like, I don't know if I'd want to be a helicopter pilot flying in the direct line of sight of a re-entering rocket. Just makes me go, I mean, you're going to need a pretty heavy, these must not be very big stages if they're able to think they can capture this with a helicopter. And that's some dynamics right there, folks. Helicopters on blades that are flexible, snagging something that is at a certain velocity speed. You just think of the bungee cord effect there, or no bungee cord and the G-forces involved. I don't want to be the helicopter test pilot for any of those missions whatsoever. Okay, the president has said that Huawei is still a national security threat. The Commerce Department is extending its reprieve, allowing Huawei to do business with U.S. companies on certain products and services. And he basically said Sunday again that he doesn't want to deal with the company, and that he said that allowing some of Huawei's business is very complicated. And he said, at this moment, it looks like much like we're not going to do business. Trade war continues. And finally tonight, an article that's actually over on Geek News Central. This is one that picked up over our website. And it talks about, what did we link to? Did I make a mistake? Oh, here it is. Spotify has upgraded its premium family plan. Spotify says, with our updated plan, Spotify premium family subscribers have on-demand access to over 450,000 podcast titles and 50 million tracks of ad-free music. What's more, parents will now be able to control the explicit content filter setting of all other accounts on their plan. These parental controls are a long-requested feature. I had a great meeting with the Spotify team when I was down in Florida. I can't discuss what we talked about during the meeting, but it was a great meeting with their podcast team. But if you're not on Spotify, the Spotify Premium Family Plan costs $14.99 a month. And so if you have a lot of family members, enjoy listening to music and podcasts together, this may be an option for you. But don't forget, you can get Apple Podcasts app for free on your iPhone, and you can get Google Podcasts app built into your Android device to subscribe and listen to any podcast in the known universe. All right, let me see if we've got any email that's come in. I don't know if I've actually checked. I've been a naughty host here and not fulfilling my hosting duties completely. Let me click on this category here and see what we've got. Oh, yeah, an email came in. And he says, hey, Todd, I'm a longtime listener of the podcast, but lately, ever since the move to the new studio, I'm hearing a strange clicking wobble noise during the podcast. It sounds like a shaking mic or something. I've tried listening via different phones and MP3 player, plus through speakers and headphones. It's still there. Am I the only one hearing this? Am I finally going crazy after listening to you all these years? Okay, Doug, here's what I want you to do. Do you hear it in this show? Because I'm in a different studio in this show. Or do you hear it from the Michigan studio? Because on the Michigan studio, I've been recording on a Rodecaster with a headset with a boom mic. And here in the studio in Columbus, I'm on a Shure SM58. So I'm kind of curious if you hear it either way, let me know, and then I will investigate. So going from having the best audio that Jack has ever heard to someone hearing a wobble. I will tell you this. I did some testing, just real quick testing with my normal mic in the studio, just holding it by hand. And very different sound. That studio is really quiet. I mean, it's really quiet. So, to me, is when I was in Honolulu, because the windows in the studio were open, there was always a certain amount of ambient background noise. So I was, listening really close. I can hear a little bit of hiss of amplifier noise. I've got my work cut out for me to get this sound dialed in. And Jack, as you say, I've got a high bar to meet here in trying to get the sound to be as good as I need it to be. There may be a new mic in the horizon. I've considered that as a potential. We'll see how things go. But overall, very, very quiet. And I'm going to be, we're going to have to be testing for ground loops and all kinds of things to make sure that the signal that gets to you as good as I can possibly make it. We've done all this stuff to make the room sound good. But if there's a noise in the audio, it's kind of defeating the purpose of having spent all the money to have this fantastic sound conditioning in the rooms where there's no echoes and so forth. All right, folks, that's going to wrap things up for this show. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Don't forget to consider becoming an insider, and your one-time donations is greatly appreciated. And I do appreciate those of you that are insiders, and we're going to have some special recognition of insiders in the coming days. But I definitely thank all of you that have given $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month, and all of you that have done one-time donations as well. Don't forget about our sponsor, GoDaddy, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. I'll be back with you Thursday in the studio in Michigan on the Rodecaster, in the front part of the studio that has no soundproofing. So anyway, we'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Everyone, take care. Bye-bye.